1 Kings chapter number 2. That's going to be Acts chapter 13 and 1 Kings chapter number 2. And we'll go ahead and get started with our study here in just a moment. Let's go ahead and get our Bibles again and turn to Acts chapter 13, verse 22, and 1 Kings chapter number 2. We'll be looking at those passages here tonight. And let's go ahead and bow for a word of prayer as we begin. Lord, again, we just do thank you for another day of grace and for the opportunity to open up your word and have it speak to our hearts. We do pray as we approach your word today that it'll be that which will build us up and encourage us and cause us to be the kind of people that you've already made us to be. Help us to be edified and educated and encouraged and empowered by your word and by your spirit and by your people with whom you've made us a part through the local assembly and the church body of Christ. In the name of your Son, Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Again, we just thank you folks for tuning in here tonight, so to speak, at Berean Bible Church. This broadcast is coming live from Berean Bible Church in Edgewater, Florida, where we preach the grace of God from the King James Bible, dispensationally delivered. Tonight, tomorrow's Father's Day, and we want to talk a little bit about fathers, and we got a man in the Word of God whose name is David, who was a father, and sometimes he was a good father, and sometimes he was a bad father, sometimes he was a good man, sometimes he was a bad man, sometimes he was a good husband, sometimes he was a bad husband. And just because of that alone, he qualifies to give us some instruction. David is somebody that we can identify with. And in Acts chapter 13, verse number 22, it says, and when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David. Now, this Acts 13 is a bit of a history of the nation of Israel. We're breaking right into the context of the passage. And it's the last part of the verse that I want us to look at. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man, notice now, after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. And that's David. David was a man who is after God's own heart. And I often think that, I think sometimes that David is that kind of guy that we can identify with. I certainly know and understand that I identify with David. There are times when I do things I ought not to do, and I think about David in those times, because David was a man after God's own heart, and men are like that. They'll make a wrong choice and a wrong decision and go the wrong way, and they'll do it on purpose sometimes. But we can still have that heart that seeks after God, and I know that that's pulled me back time after time after time in my relationship with God the Father, is having that heart which you really, really want to do just what's right. And in 1 Kings chapter number 2, we're going to read down through about verse number 10 or so, and we're going to talk a little bit about David here tonight. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse number 1. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. Keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, that is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. That the Lord, that's capital L-O-R-D, that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth, with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. Moreover, thou knowest also what Joab the son of Zeruiah did unto me, and what he did to the two captains of the host of Israel, unto Abner the son of Ner, and unto Amasa the son of Jether, whom he slew and shed the blood of war in peace, and put the blood of war upon his girdle that was upon his loins, and his shoes that were upon his feet. Do therefore according to thy wisdom, Now, I'm getting a bunch of instant messages, folks, and so we're not going to be taking instant messages from folks while we're doing the teaching. So, all right, let's get back to our message here. Then we'll pick up in 1 Kings chapter number 2, verse number 6. Do therefore according to thy wisdom, and let not his hoarhead go down to the grave in peace, but show kindness unto the sons of Barzillai, the Gileadite, and let them be of those that eat of thy table. For so they came to me when I fled of Absalom thy brother. And behold, thou hast with thee Shimei the son of Gera, a Benjamite of Bahurim, which cursed me with a grievous curse in the day that I went down to Mahanaim. But he came down to meet me at Jordan, and I swear to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put thee to death with a sword. Now therefore hold him not guiltless, for thou art a wise man, and knowest what thou oughtest to do unto him, but his hoarhead bring down there to the grave with blood. So David slept with his fathers, and was buried in the city of David. And David is a man after God's own heart. He's a guy who he sometimes was a good guy, sometimes he's bad, sometimes a good father, sometimes a bad father. But he did something with Solomon. There's some principles here that we're going to go through tonight about how he dealt with Solomon. So when he got to this point in his life where he's about to die, he gives Solomon a charge here in these verses that to indicate that he had at least with Solomon tried to do something that he was unable to do with his other children that he had raised. And he was a man after God's own heart, yet he failed as a father in many ways. His children went bad when were involved in many, many different kinds of sins. Some were involved with rape. Some were involved with murder. Some were involved in revolutions. Yet after failure, David had another son, and David raised him to be the most intelligent and most successful ruler in Israel's history. In this passage, we see David as a father who raised his son to be a success. And by looking through these verses, we're going to see five basic principles that David used to turn out a son that carried on after his father's death. Now, number one, David taught Solomon to be a man. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse number 2, David writes and speaks to Solomon here, and he says, I go the way of all the earth. I'm going to die. I got a phone call this afternoon from a guy. I'm on the board of directors of the YMCA here, and one of the board members died yesterday. I was planning on going and seeing him very shortly, but I got a phone call today saying that he had died. I talked with a lady just the other day who was complaining about sickness and death and those kind of things, and I was able to tell her, you know, with all of our modern technology, the death rate is still one apiece. But David told Solomon to be a man. He says, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. You know what we need in this country? You know what we need in our local assemblies? We need men who will stand up for right. As you look around the world today, men, it's hard to find a good man. And I think sometimes it's even more difficult to find a good Christian man. The word Christian has fallen on very hard times. But you know what we need? We need men who will stand up for right. We need men who will stand up for morality. We need men who will stand up against the wrong. We need men that will love their wives for better or for worse. We need men who will provide for their family. We need men who will spend time at home. And David, as he's dealing with Solomon, he says, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou therefore strong and show thyself a man. Be a man. And that's what we need in our local assemblies. We need fathers who are going to stand up for the right and teach their children to stand for the right. We need men who are going to stand up for morality and for right things and teach their children to stand up for morality. We need men who are going to stand against the wrong and have children that are going to do that. We need men that are going to teach their sons that when they get married, that they need to marry and love their wife for better or for worse. We need men who are going to teach their sons to provide for their family when they get grown. We need men who are going to teach their sons that it's a good thing, it's a right thing to spend time at home with the family. All too often, we see guys running off to spend time with their friends. We see men running off to spend time fishing and hunting and all kinds of other things, and the family is neglected, and the family is left alone. There's five principles in these verses that we're going to look at here tonight. And the very first one is that David taught Solomon, and he says, Solomon, be a man. You know, you see the billboards and the pictures of the Marlboro Man, and you know, everybody thinks that smoking and cussing and drinking and those kind of things, that's the things that make a man, but it's not. It's standing for the right. It's standing for morality. It's standing against wrong. It's providing for the family. And it's for men who will spend time at home. That's what we need. That's what we're looking for. And that's what David tried to teach Solomon. Then not only that, but David taught Solomon something else. Look in 1 Kings chapter 2, verse number 3 and 4. David taught Solomon to be a man, but David also taught Solomon to be a godly man. Verse 3, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, whithersoever thou turnest thyself. That the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth, with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man of the throne of Israel. Now, granted, come with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse number 9. Granted that this information is Old Testament information, and granted that it's not a pattern for you and I today as far as the application of a doctrine, but the principle here, to be a godly man, to be a man who is going to follow God no matter what. And David taught Solomon to be a man, and David taught Solomon to be a godly man. Verse number 3 again says, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as is written in the law of Moses. Could I say to you and I today that living in the dispensation of the grace of God, that we need to keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, and to keep his commandments? Paul said, if any man think himself to be spiritual or a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. And just because we're living in the dispensation and grace of God doesn't mean that we are divorced from living rightly and properly in this present evil world. Just like David taught Solomon to be a good, godly man, to walk in God's ways, to walk in God's statutes, to walk in God's commandments, to walk in God's judgments and in God's testimonies. Even so today in the dispensation of grace, we need to do that same thing. in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse number 9, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know that the God of thy father, and know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." And of course we see that dichotomy there here in this verse about if you'll do this, then I'll do that. If you'll do this, then I'll do that. And we know that in the dispensation of the grace of God, we have all spiritual blessings up front, and we have all the grace and all the spiritual blessings right now. But notice in the first part of this verse, the principle that we can come away with here and from the Old Testament is, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou," and let's just say it this way, and thou, men of the church, the body of Christ, you fathers that are out there, "know thou the God of thy father, and serve him," notice now, "with a perfect heart and with a willing mind." David taught Solomon to be a man. And we need fathers who will stand for right, for morality, to stand against Rome, stand against wrong, and to provide for their family, and to spend time at home. And we need men, and we need fathers who will know the Lord, and who will serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. Know the God of thy father. You know what? I believe probably David introduced Solomon to the Lord. This is a father's greatest hour to lead his own son or his own child to Christ. David has given Solomon the most important advice that he could ever give him in his whole life. And this Old Testament passage is just as relevant right now as it was in Solomon's time. When he says, David tells Solomon two things: serve God with a perfect heart, and serve him with a willing mind. You know, we teach our children to be godly, and we teach them to be godly through example. Listen, don't expect your kids to be godly if you are not godly. Never expect your children to raise any higher spiritually than you have. It always works the opposite. We need to be setting the standard. We need to be setting the pace. We as men, you that are fathers and have children, never expect your children to raise any higher spiritually than you do. Don't expect your children to be more faithful than you are. Set the standard, set the pace, set the course as men, as godly men. You know, some children want to quit going to church just as soon as they get old enough to stop going. Just as soon as they get old enough to start rebelling against going to church, they'll start doing that. Why is that? Well, could it be because maybe dad's criticized the preacher somewhere along the line? Or maybe dad's criticized the doctrine? Or maybe dad's criticized the church, the body of Christ, and the members thereof? If you have found ways not to serve the Lord, then so will they. But if you set the example, if you set the course, then they will only have themselves to blame in the future. It will cost you dearly to raise your children for the Lord. It will cost you far more not to raise them for the Lord. Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." July 24th, 1991, I had the opportunity of leading a little 15-year-old girl to the Lord. Sat down on the front porch there at Berean Bible Church, opened up the Word of God, and gave her the gospel. Saw her get saved. And then she disappeared. She went out back into the world and started messing around. But you know what? She showed back up again after that and said she wanted to do what was right. You see, you put into them that spiritual value, and you set the standard, and you set the pace, and you set the course, and you train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he'll not depart from it. David taught Solomon to be a man. David taught Solomon to be a man of God. And David also taught Solomon to be a just man. Look in 1 Kings chapter 2, verse number 5. Moreover, thou knowest also what Joab the son of Zeruiah did unto me, and what he did to the two captains of the host of Israel, and unto Abner the son of Ner, and to Amasa the son of Jether, whom he slew and shed the blood of war in peace, killed them in peacetime, and put the blood of war upon his girdle that was on his loins, and his shoes that was on his feet. You get the mental picture there. He killed these guys and shed their blood and wiped his sword on his clothes, and the blood dripped down on his feet there. And this was during a time of peace. Verse number 6, do therefore according to thy wisdom, and let not his whore head go down into the grave in peace. But show, that word whore there means white-headed, by the way. Just throw that in there for you. Verse number 7. But show kindness unto the sons of Barzillai, the Gileadite, and let them be of those that eat at thy table, for so they came to me when I fled from thy, because of Absalom thy brother. And behold, thou hast with thee Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, a Barum, which cursed me with a grievous curse, and the day when I went down to Mahanaim, but he came down to meet me at Jordan, and I swear to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put thee to death by the sword. David prepares Solomon to execute justice. David taught Solomon to be a just man. Joab had unjustly killed Abner. David was opposed to the slaying. Joab was on David's cabinet. He was his secretary of war. He fought against Israel's enemies beside David. But he had to be punished for his crime. Joab had been a friend to David, but justice must prevail. Solomon had to do right, even if the political community was against it. Joab was well known. He was well liked. He was a friend of David, but David prepared Solomon to execute justice. And can I say to you today that as men, as fathers, that men should prepare their children to be politically right, to execute justice and judgment? You see, children have to be taught to vote for the right. You teach them to vote for the right, not for the party. Teach them to vote for morality, not for popularity. Teach them to vote for political justice, not anarchy. What will govern your children's convictions? How would your children vote? They will vote according to the way that you teach them to vote. That what you value and esteem, what you teach them to value and esteem, is what they're going to value and esteem. And we need to be very careful to let our children know what we think and what we understand about executing judgment and justice in the political realm that we're surrounded by. The children that are growing up today in grace churches and in grace circles need to understand that they are the next generation, that they are the children of the future for the grace movement. And they need to understand rightness and morality and justice. And what will govern their convictions? Where will they get their conservatism or their liberalism? You want them to get those things from the TV? You want them to get those things from the radio? They need to get those things from their father, from their daddy. They will vote according to the way that you teach them to vote. And David taught Solomon to be a man. And David taught Solomon to be a godly man. And David taught Solomon to be a just man. They also taught Solomon to be a grateful man. Look at verse number 7. 1 Kings 2:7, "But show kindness unto the sons of Barzillai the Gileadite, and let them be of those that eat at thy table. For so they came to me when I fled because of Absalom thy brother." Come with me to 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 27. 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 27. I apologize that there's nobody here to post up verses for you tonight. We'll have to see if we can take care of that down the road. We normally have somebody in here. But 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 27. David remembered the kindness of Barzillai. And he taught Solomon to remember and to be grateful. In 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 27, it says, "And it came to pass, when David was come to Mahanaim, that Shobi, the son of Nahash, of Rabbath, of the children of Ammon, and Michar, the son of Amiel, of Lodbar, and Barzillai the Gileadite, of Rogelim, brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched pulse and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of kind for David and for the people that were with him to eat. For they said, the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness." Our children will reflect our thankfulness and our gratitude. Men, what are you thankful for? Men, what are you grateful for? And do your children know that? Do your children see you giving thanks? Do your children see you being grateful to those who are around you? Grateful to the Lord? Grateful for His Word? Grateful for a local assembly? Thankful for all that we have in Christ? Do your children see that? Because your children are going to reflect your thankfulness and your gratitude as we are those examples for them. But David taught Solomon to be a man. He taught Solomon to be a godly man. He taught Solomon to be a just man. He taught Solomon to be a grateful man. But he also taught Solomon to be a wise man. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse number 9. And also we're going to get 1 Kings chapter number 3. David taught Solomon to be a wise man. You know what wisdom is? Wisdom is the application of knowledge. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse number 9. "Now therefore hold him not guiltless, for thou art a wise man, and knowest what thou oughtest to do unto him. But his forehead bring thou down to the grave with blood." He said, you're a wise man, and you know what needs to be done. Solomon prayed for wisdom. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse number 5. A passage of Scripture that gets misused all the time, but notice it in its proper context. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse number 5. "In Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee, and has kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child, and I know not how to come out or go out or to come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered or counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge so great a people? Solomon prayed for wisdom. David taught Solomon to be a man. And as we approach this holiday, this time of year, when we're talking to fathers and the importance of fathers, here are five principles that we as men and those who are fathers can work into their life to encourage their children, to edify their children, to be the best. David taught Solomon to be a man. David taught Solomon to be a godly man. David taught Solomon to be a just man. David taught Solomon to be a grateful man, and he taught him to be a wise man. Dads, what are you teaching your children? Oh yeah, we go to church on Sundays, and we go to church on Wednesdays, and we go here and we go there, and we pray over our food. But what are you teaching your children? You know, those are pretty well the expected things in life, aren't they? And it's the man of God who's going to take the Word of God and raise up godly generations out there in the world. And Father's Day is a great time. It's a time for us to reflect and to think about who we are and what we're teaching our children. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 15. I'll start in verse number 14. But continue thou. And here's another father. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul often told Timothy, you know, he called him his son. And he appealed to him as being a father. And in verse 14 he says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Paul set the example for Timothy. He set the course. He set the path. Verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That purpose statement, the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Men, we need some men. Not men, not just males. We need some men. We need some godly men. We need some men who will stand up for the right and teach their children to stand for right. Who will stand for morality and teach their children to stand for morality. Who will stand against wrong and teach their children to stand for to stand against wrong. We need some men who are just men. We need some men who are grateful men. And we need some men who are wise men. And that wisdom and that gratitude and all those things that we talked about tonight come from a personal relationship. Listen to me now. Comes from a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You've seen the bumper sticker. Real men love Jesus. Real men. Can I say to you tonight? Real men love and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day of grace and for the opportunity to be with your saints, and we thank you for men. We thank you for faithful men. Men who will stand in the gap. Men who will stand for the right and teach their children to do so. Men who will grasp hold of the Word of God and not let it go. Give us, grant us, fathers that are men of God. As we pray in the name of your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.